Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So we should be considered these things that we need to receive on the day of Judgment Day. So I'd like to consider tonight these three specific words, praise and honor and glory. And I'd like to give the definition for each word. The word glory is the word doxa. The strong number is 1391, which is to receive glory. The scriptural definition for the word glory is in Luke chapter 14, verse 10. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. So the word worship there is glory, which is doxa. So according to this scripture, the definition of word glory is to be considered as a special or important above all other people. And the word praise is the word is laudation. The definition of the word praise is laudation. The Greek number is 1868, which comes from two different words. One is 1909, which is epi, con, and another word is 134, which is to praise. So in Romans chapter 2, verse 29, the spiritual Jew seek the praise of God only, not men. So another word, the word honor, is the word time. The Greek word is time, and the definition of the word is to value. And the Strong's number is 5092, which comes from 5099, which is to pay. Like in in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, that we need to value all of God's children, every brethren. So tonight I'd like to focus on the word glory and praise. We already saw the word glory as doxa, and we saw the scriptural definition for that word, that to be considered above everyone. In John 5, verse 41, Jesus says that he received not honor from men. The word honor over there is word glory, or doxa. So Jesus does not receive praise from or glory from men. In John chapter 8, verse 50, and I seek not mine own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. So also Jesus did not seek his own glory. So why? Why did Jesus did not receive or seek the own glory? In John chapter 8, verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom he say that he is your God. Jesus was not seeking after glory from men because he was not valuing that. If we value something, we seek after it. Jesus did not value any praise of men, so he did not seek or receive it. In contrast, these Jews were receiving and seeking praise of men. We can see that in John chapter 5, verse 42. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Why this Jew does not have God's love in them. In verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and you received me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. So why they didn't receive Jesus? So because of they didn't receive Jesus, God's love is not in them. So the question is, why they didn't receive Jesus? Verse 44, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? So what's the main problem of the Jew that they didn't believe in what Jesus said? Why they didn't believe that Jesus was Son of God? Because they're receiving the honor. The word honor here is word glory. They're receiving the glory from one another. And also they're seeking after it. In John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43 shows that some of Jews, God gave some Jews understanding about who is Christ and who is Jesus. But they were not willing to confess. Why? They were under pressure of praise of men. They don't want to be out of the company or the assembly. They want to identify themselves with other Jews. So what was the actual problem? What kind of leaders that these Jews have? In Matthew chapter 23, verse 3 to 7, Matthew chapter 23, verses 3 to 7, all therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not eat after their word, for they say and do not. For they bid heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men, they make broad their factories and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called men rabbi, rabbi. So we can see here what kind of leaders these Jews had. Verse 5 states very plainly that they were seeking praise of men by the doing everything before men, the scene of men. And verse 6 gives the definition of praise of men, as we saw in Luke chapter 14, that they seek uppermost rooms at the feast to be considered above all. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 2, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So they were making sure that their good works are seen of men. So whatever they do is to get a praise of men. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, even their prayers, they make sure that men are listening and hearing the prayers, and they are seeking the praise of men in their prayers. And now in Acts chapter 5, I'm giving some, here's some example of Ananias and Sapphira that they lied to the Holy Spirit, and they hid the portion in their house, and they give the some of the profit of that. So you all know what's happening here. So what was the problem of Ananias and Sapphira to lie? We can see that in chapter 4, in some of the last verses, that people are selling their own properties and lands, and they have to have all things common. So Ananias tells he had to give two. So if he had said that he had kept some and gave some, what would people think of him? So obviously he was under the pressure. You don't want to be think less than any other brethren. So the reason he told the lie, we can see here, he was under the pressure of the praise of men. We can see other good example in Romans chapter 4, verse 20. We can see here Abraham, that he did not give glory to himself. He started not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The actual context is starting from verse 17. When Abraham had no child, God had promised that he will give a child to Abraham. And Abraham becomes 100 years old, and Abraham's faith was still standing in there. He was not lack of his faith or lack of faith in God's promises. But still, did he give the glory for the faith that he had to himself? No, he gave the glory to God. So now I like to consider these scriptures to ourselves, and I like to apply these scriptures to us, and let us judge ourselves that how we are and how we're supposed to be changed. So as we read in John chapter 12, that Jews were under the pressure because they wanted to be perceived by other Jews. They don't want to do what is right. Doing what is right is confessing Jesus was Son of God. But they don't want to do that because they don't want to be put out of the company. So when we are suffering like that, when we have a temptation like that, what are we going to do? We're going to be under the pressure of maybe we need a family relationship. We need to be received by families and our loved ones. We need the praise of men. And then we are under the pressure, and then we are not doing what is right, and we are going along with them because we need the relationship with our families. Same exactly happening what happening to Jews. That they want to identify themselves with other Jews. They don't want to be put away from other Jews. So we can see that the fear coming from the praise of men. If we value the praise of men, then we are fearing to do what is right. So what Jesus said, if we value the praise of men, and if we are receiving glory of men, we are not getting more understanding. The problem that we are not getting growing in understanding, it could be the problem in John 5:44 that we are receiving the praise of men. And also in, like in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, doing the good works. If my motivation of doing the good work is to be have the good reputation before the people, and people will be receive me and honor me, is that what my motivation to do the good works? Am I doing what is right? Or am I seeking the praise of men? And also in Matthew 6, verse 5, talks about the prayer. These Pharisees are praying the prayer that men could praise them for their prayers. It's a really common temptation to everyone that we are putting in ourselves this part when somebody's asking us to pray. We are thinking that our prayers to be addressing well and putting a lot of words that people would think that I have some of understanding and that I have some of knowledge. So if that's what my motivation is for my prayer, that people would think of how my prayer is and how much understanding that I have, if that's what my motivation about my prayer, am I doing this prayer for God, to glory to God, or for seeking the glory from men? Our prayer is supposed to be edifying the hearts of men who are listening to those prayers, and also our prayers should be received by God. So it's really hard to not to seek the praise of men when we are in the putting this part of like doing prayers. Also in the situation of Ananias and Sapphira, when we compare that with us, we are trying to, so they did, the first thing that they did, they hid it. They hid the portion from their prophet, and then they lied. It's coming from because they want the praise of men. So what I'll do, I don't want to be think, others to think about me, I'm less, and I'm not equal to them. I'm not a spiritual good brother. So I need that praise. So whatever I do, if I shown to men, if I do the good works, seen of men, but I'm hiding all other my works, am I trying to receive the praise of men? Our world's supposed to be truthful and faithful before God. God is the one who's watching us. They lied not to the Peter, they lied to Holy Spirit. So when we have the temptation, what people are going to think of about my works, we try to hide it. We don't want to share those works with our brethren. It's that it could be many reasons that I'm hiding. One, I don't want to discourage them. I don't want to put an offending, a stumbling block before them. If that's our motivation, that's right, according to Matthew chapter 18. But if my motivation is I don't want them to think me wrong, or I want their praise, is that my motivation? And am I doing what is right? And also, we can see in Abraham's situation in Romans 4:20. The faith he had is amazing faith. He's a father of our faith. But he didn't give the glory, the faith, the amount of faith that he had, he didn't give the glory to himself, but to God. So if I have the understanding, and if I grow in more understanding, it always is a big temptation to be pride before we don't have the understanding. It's true, God asks us to think about ourselves according to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that we have to think ourselves according to the amount of understanding or of faith that God gives us. But is it right for me to have the pride in my heart because I have better understanding than others? Is it right for me to give the glory to myself? Who gives the understanding? We all know in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 7, so God won't give the understanding. The credit has to go to God, not to ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, if my works are not coming from my heart, how much profit in that work before God on Judgment Day? It says nothing. This man is doing all the prophecies and revealing all the mysteries and having all knowledge and having the faith to move the mountains. But what's the problem? The problem is he doesn't have, from verse 4 to 8, the heart of love, God's love. So all this work he's doing is before men. So what is motivation to do these works? For men to praise him. So if my good work is to be motivated on what people would think of me, about my reputation before my family or my parents or my siblings or my church members, is that my motivation? Am I doing what is right? We have to do the good for God's sake, not for men's sake. If I'm doing good, God commanded me to do good. If I'm giving a food and clothing to a brethren, God commanded me to do, I'm doing that. So we have to give the glory to God in anything, whatever we do, because he is the one who is worthy for that. We are not. And Jesus says he doesn't value that. He is not valuing his seeking on glory. In John chapter 7, he says, in John chapter 7, so he says that he's not who that speaks of himself. He seeks his own glory. Verse 18, John chapter 17, verse 18. John chapter 7, verse 18. So who that speaks of himself, he seeks his own glory. Say, so if I'm trying to speak about myself, so what I'm trying to get? Why Jesus not speaking about himself? Because he's not trying to get the glory of men. If my motivation is talking with myself to others to receive the praise of men, am I doing the right work? Even if I'm doing the good work, trying to tell about that, is that my motivation to get and receive the praise of men, am I going to get a reward for that good work in Judgment Day? It's really a hard temptation for us. Somebody asked about how's the day. It's true, we have to mention how the day went, but it's my motivation is to tell the day I went because of what all the good I did to receive the praise of men. And am I a hypocrite or I'm doing the good work for God? In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 27, it is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. So eating too much of honey, you all know how that works. At the same way, seeking their own glory, God says it's not a glory. So we have to be careful in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. We need to make sure that we are not causing anybody to fall in temptation by flattering them. It's true, appreciating them is one thing, but if we putting more words, we need to make sure that we are not flattering them. When we are flattering, we are putting the net for his feet. So if he falls in the net, he falls in the temptations. So who caused him to fall? We're going to get a damnation for that. We're going to get a punishment for that. We can't put stumbling blocks before others. So we need to check our own odds about our words, how we are speaking, and whatever we're doing. Is my motivation to please a particular person? Is that my motivation? Is whatever good I'm doing? We need to ask question ourselves, am I going to get reward in judgment day for this good work? Now I'm looking for the word praise. So what God talks about this, about receiving praise from men. Who is the spiritual Jew in Romans chapter 2, verse 29? Romans chapter 2, verse 29. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. If we are a spiritual Jew, and if we had a circumcision in our hearts, whose praise that we seek after? If I'm seeking after the men's praise, who am I identifying myself with? With the physical Jews. They did everything to seek and to receive the glory from men. If I want to identify myself with the spiritual Jew, whose praise that I need to looking for? Only God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. So God is going to reveal everything we did. Maybe not hold it against us, as he explains in Ezekiel chapter 18, but everything will be revealed. So how will we receive praise in that day? It's going to be a great shame. If God is revealing all our past and what all we did before we became perfect, it's going to be a shame or praise. So in what sense is God going to give the praise to us? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory and appearance of Jesus Christ. So once we overcome all these sins and become perfect, then that will be revealed on Judgment Day too. Still, we can give the credit that we become perfect to ourselves, because who works in us? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 20, the God who works in us for the perfection. But still, God is the one who deserves the praise, but also we receive the praise from God too, because God deed done with God's word. In Romans chapter 2, verse 7, so if we want to get the honor and glory and praise from God, we need to be doing good works for God. And verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, seeking for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. And also in verse 10, but glory and honor and peace to every man that works good, to the Jews first and also to Gentiles. So the way to get God's glory is by patient continuous in well-doing and seeking and doing good. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life and righteousness and honor. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12, before destruction, the heart of men is haughty, and before honor is humility. So if we want to receive the praise and the honor and the glory from God, we need to make sure that we are humble. It's true, God says that we need to honor all men and we need to prefer one another. It's true. As a servant and in a heart of humility, we need to honor others. It's not should be coming from our hearts that if we are serving the brethren and our motivation is supposed to be that we're going to get a reward for this work on Judgment Day, not for the praise of men. Thank you all for the opportunity, and I hope you all can grow in this and also let us seek for God's glory and His praise only, not men's.
The next song will be number 148 in the Red Book, and after this, we'll have our closing prayer. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise Him, O ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, for His name alone is high, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. Let them praises give Jehovah. They were made at His command. Them forever He established. His decree shall ever stand. From the earth, oh, praise Jehovah. All ye floods, ye dragons all, fire and hail and snow and vapors, stormy winds that hear Him call. Let them praises give Jehovah, for His name alone is high, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, Prince is great, earth judges all. Praise his name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky.
Brother Aaron, are you there? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have blessed us with this wonderful evening, that you have allowed us to come together and sing songs, praise to your name, and to hear a portion of your word. We thank you that you have given us your complete word and that we can study it and understand it. Please help us to gain more understanding each and every day, and help us to gain more wisdom of how to apply it to our hearts and to every situation that we find ourselves in. We thank you for this country that we live in. We know that the governments and those in authority are set up by you, and we thank you for setting up those authorities. And please be with those leaders of our lands, that they make just and right laws, and that we can live peaceably and continue to worship you in freedom. We thank you that you have given us our jobs, that we can earn money. Please help us to be excellent employees and show a Christ-like spirit in all of our dealings with our coworkers and in our managers. Please help us to have a ready answer for that hope that lives within us, so that we can speak to those who would ask. Please be with our children and bless them and help us to raise them well and to teach them the full counsel that you have revealed to us in your word. Please help us to instill in them a love for your word and for doing righteousness before you. We thank you that you have blessed us with the food and the clothing that we have, and please continue to provide for us our food and clothing each and every day as you see fit. Please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for your lesson, Caleb.
Thanks, brother. Caleb.
Thank you.
Good lesson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Caleb.
Yeah.
Enjoy your lesson, Caleb.
Thank you so much.
Any updates on Kara?
Maybe it's dead still.
Thanks.
What'd you say, Caleb?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Thanks for all the singers, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Caleb.
Yeah.